In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. He speaks, and it happens. He won't deceive, he won't mislead. Now his thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not his ways. So you may not always understand all that is happening in your life, but as you full well know, knowledge is not faith, and faith is not knowledge. So even though you may not know all that is happening, or why, you still believe that God has to be good to you. And not only that, but he has to help you. He must. He can do nothing else. For did he not promise you, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you? And again, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And again, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He cannot change these great and precious promises. And faith will not want him to. For if God changes his word, then God himself has changed. And certainty turns to uncertainty. God is tied to his word. It's not just a book containing the history of Israel, though it is that. It's not just a book talking about God and what he has done, though it certainly is that. But this word is the will of God. Each time you open it, you receive a little glimpse into the heart of God. You see his motives, his wants, his desires. He will not say one thing and do another. What he desires, he says. And what he says, he always does. And so the woman cried out to Christ for mercy. For she had heard it said about Jesus that he is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. So we also cry out to Christ for mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. It's the cry of the beggar. We have nothing to give to God and everything to receive from him. What can we give to the Lord that he should help us? Can we bribe him? Can we twist his arm? That's not mercy. Mercy flows from his heart. He is filled with compassion and pity for us because of who he is. So when we ask God for mercy, we are in fact saying, remember who you are, O Lord, Son of David. We're worn out from the grind of life. Our routines burden us. Our schedules stress us. It's hard to get through one day, let alone a week or a year. Have mercy on us, O Lord. We are helpless without you. We have no food, no drink, no good weather, no peace, no prosperity, no friends, no popularity. We have absolutely nothing. No good government, no self-control, nothing apart from the mercy of God. And at times, he doesn't answer. He tests faith. He is silent so that we cry out even more. That's what happened with this woman, yet she's not angry at him, neither does she feel slighted. But her faith is persistent. Faith does not turn away from Christ. Faith will not stop praying to Christ, even though he appears silent. Faith will continue to trust in God. It can do nothing else. For faith knows of only one mediator, one savior, one deliverer, one helper. Where else can you go? Would you really stop praying to God because he didn't give you what you asked for, the moment that you asked for it? Have his promises failed you? Of course not. For his word says, his mercies are new every morning. By his silence, he seeks to draw out your faith. Is he God or not? Is he your Savior or not? Will he hear and answer you or not? When he does answer this woman, he doesn't speak very kindly to her. But he never asks her who she is and what she wants, because he has indeed heard every prayer from her. Each one of her words has found its way into his heart. But he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. He does not lie, he speaks the truth. Don't be offended at what he says. For he does not lie, he speaks the truth when he calls you a sinner from conception. You have nothing good in this life apart from him, and you deserve nothing good in the afterlife either. Christ did not come to travel around the region of Tyre and Sidon preaching and teaching and doing miracles. His visible presence was for the physical nation of Israel. So neither has Christ come to you today to be visibly seen by you, to visibly teach you, preach to you, or to perform miracles. He does not come to cure your cancer or to feed you, or to drive out demons, or to fix your life, or to raise your children, or to visibly walk among you. Those were privileges reserved for the physical nation of Israel, and only 3 years at that. And it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. And yet faith is undeterred. We can't argue with him. He speaks the truth. We can't claim a higher status than she. He will not lie to us. Faith is tested, refined, and purified through trial. It knows who Christ is and why he has come. He must be merciful. He must be gracious. He must be compassionate. He can do nothing else. He must listen, and not only listen, but he must answer. Lord, help me. Basic, simple. Like this woman, we won't tell him how to act or when. Perhaps he will heal her daughter. Perhaps he will simply give her the strength to endure. Perhaps he will heal our children, remove the disease or the ailments. Perhaps he will make our lives easy and stress-free and restful this week. Perhaps he will simply give us the strength to endure whatever may come. The cross brings us to our knees and opens our mouths to cry out, "Do with me as you see fit. Only help me." We know who he is. We know why he has come. So we will not stop asking him to be our Savior, even though it appears that he is silent. We will not stop asking him to save us from sin, death, and hell. But even more, we will not stop asking him to save us from the burdens and the troubles that stress us out day after day. He must help us. He must deliver us, or else he is not a Savior. So like this woman, we cry out to Christ for mercy. We don't want anything more than what he has already promised us. Only a crumb, a little piece of bread. We don't care that we're not blood descendants of Abraham. He created us. He loves us. And he himself has died for us to take away not only the sins of Israel, but the sins of us Americans as well. He still promises to hear every word we say, to be with us always to the very end of the age, to work out all things for our good, whether we see it or not, and to graciously give us all things. So when he doesn't operate on our timetable, or when it appears like he's not answering us, will we really turn to a different master and seek help from someone else? He alone has the words of eternal life. Will we really eat from a different table? He alone has the bread of life. We demand nothing but ask only for what he has promised us. Just a crumb of his mercy, a little help, a small taste of his body. And he grants our request. We eat his body and we drink his blood. He saves us from demons, from pain, from sickness, from diseases, from suffering, from hardship, from stress, from worry. He saves us from all that troubles us in life. He saves us even from death. He will never disappoint the soul that trusts in him. He will always save. He may send a cross to refine and purify our faith. He may speak his law so that we yearn for his gospel. He may give our faith a workout. But like this woman, faith is never disappointed because it trusts in God, the Lord, the Son of David, who was born for us, crucified for us, and risen on the third day for us. That sacrifice is the very beating heart of the Scriptures, and so it is the very beating heart of your God. He yearns to save you. He wants nothing more than your salvation. He will not lie. He will not deceive. He may at times speak harshly to you, as he did with this woman, but he has heard your every word. Each one of your prayers has found its way into his heart. And he will never send you away, but he will help you. You have his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.